If there's one thing that we need to understand in order to grasp the amazing nature of that first Easter Sunday morning, it's this. No one was expecting the resurrection. No one. No one was expecting that to happen. No one got up that morning and said, "This is it. This is the moment we have been waiting for. This is going to be the greatest day ever, the greatest day in history. This is going to be the time when Jesus is going to fulfill all that, you know, he said he will." No, no one. At least as far as we can tell. From what we know, the women, they were the first witnesses. They were the first on the scene, and they took spices with them. They go to the tomb expecting to find a dead body because they want to anoint the dead body. They are completely bewildered when they are faced with that empty tomb. Jesus's followers, well, they hear what the women have to say. They dismiss what the women have to say as nonsense. They say, "Oh, it's just an idle tale." So two of them, though, have to go and check it out, Peter and John. They leg it to the tomb to see for themselves and to try and work out what on earth is going on here. They're not expecting Jesus to have been raised. Peter just doesn't get it. He returns confused. Make no mistake, no one is expecting the resurrection. And that includes these two chaps we've just heard about in that final reading. They've been in Jerusalem, and they have been witnessing firsthand what we have been hearing secondhand tonight. All those events that we heard happening, they've witnessed them firsthand. And now they're on their way home. They're on their way home to a village outside of Jerusalem. It's called Emmaus, probably about a 3-hour walk away. And they're on their way back there. And like the rest of Jesus' friends, they are sad. And when I say sad, I mean really, really sad. You see, only a week ago, they had felt on top of the world. They'd felt just so happy and buoyant. The great festival of Passover had just begun. And Jesus had been welcomed and cheered into the city like a hero. It's really exciting. And everyone was certain that he was the one that the prophecies were about. Everyone was certain that he was the one who had been promised, and those promises were going to come true in him. And he was going to sort the Romans out and kick them out, and they would come out from under Roman tyranny, and they would live again under God's law, and they would be the nation that God wanted them to be for the sake of the whole world. But then, all that excitement, all that hope, all that promise had disappeared in an instant. And the one on whom their hopes were pinned was suddenly arrested. Falsely tried and then brutally executed on a Roman cross. And then on top of all that, the very next day, it seemed that Jerusalem just got on with life as normal. There they were celebrating the Passover. It was like nothing had happened. Everything back to normal. Business as usual in the temple. And yet for Jesus' followers, the dream was dead. It was dead. What else could they do but return home? Utterly devastated. What'd you do in that circumstance? But then, something changes everything. Something changes. At the start of their journey, these two people are confused. At the start of their journey, they're disappointed. They've lost hope. They're trying to make sense of why innocent people can suffer. They're dealing with pain. they're dealing with grief. I don't know, maybe some of you can relate to that this evening. Maybe you're in a similar place, confused and feeling hopeless or in pain. But by the end of their journey, these two travelers are completely transformed. Their hearts are burning with joy. They have purpose now. They have meaning. They need to go and speak to people. They leg it back to Jerusalem. They have understanding. And they have a rock solid hope for the future. Maybe that is something you'd like to have too. And what changes for them is an encounter with the risen Jesus. That's what changes everything for those two travelers. Friends, this is what the good news of Easter is, what the good news of Christianity is all about. A risen Jesus who is alive now and can make all the difference in your life and in mine. Because whatever else we make of this story, what is absolutely clear is that these two, along with the rest of Jesus' followers, are totally convinced that Jesus is no longer dead, that he's alive. They're totally convinced of that. And at the very least, we need to ask in response, you know, is it true what is being said here? Or is it just made up and make believe? And Luke, who is carefully recording this account for us, is all about wanting to help us answer that question. Is it true? That's what Luke's all about. It's his expressed intention, actually, as he starts to write his account. He wants to give us facts. And so slap bang, in the middle of this journey from where they started and to where they end up, Luke presents us with some facts. This is basically what he says. He says, these are the facts, but there are two ways to look at them. There are two ways to look at the facts, but actually only one of them would seem to make sense. So let's explore this some more. From verse 19, Luke gives us some key facts. He says, Jesus of Nazareth was, I quote, a prophet, powerful in deed and word. Fact. Verse 20, he says he was condemned to death and they crucified him. Fact. Verse 21 says he claimed to be the one to redeem Israel or to rescue Israel. Well, that's what he claimed. He did claim that. Fact. Verse 21 also, he'd been dead 3 days, and it is now the third day since all this took place. Again, fact. And then verse 23, they did not find his body. The tomb was empty. Fact. Those are the facts. They don't change. They can't change because they're facts. And they're not just attested to by Christian authors. They're not just attested to by Jewish authors, but other authors at the time who speak of this man who lived and died and was a prophet and said and claimed amazing things. These are the facts. But how you look at those facts and how you reason from them changes everything. And this is the difference between what we see without and with a risen Jesus. And it's remarkable. In their confused and depressed hopelessness at the start of their journey, those two travelers must have had way more questions than answers, don't you think, on that first Easter Sunday morning? I mean, loads of questions going through their mind. And I suspect one of the most pressing must have been, did we get it all wrong? I mean, who was this Jesus anyway? We thought he was this, but now he's dead. So who was he anyway? Who was this Jesus? And I think that's a really important question all of us need to consider, at least once, seriously, in our lives. What do we make of the man who, without question, lived and breathed and died and taught on this earth 2,000 years ago? What do we make of his claims he made? He made some astonishing claims. He claimed to be able to forgive bad things. Who can do that? He claimed to not just be a man, he actually claimed to be God. He claimed to be united with God in this really unique way. And not just that, he claimed actually to be the only way to get back into relationship with the Creator God who made us and loves us. Was, you know, if was he just mad for saying those things, or was he right? Was he good, or was he bad? We have to wrestle with these things. Is he dead, or is he alive? And friends, I need to tell you this evening that everyone, I believe, needs to find an answer to that question. Who was Jesus, and is he actually alive? Because the stakes are so high. Without a risen Jesus, the facts and the claims are just confusing. They don't make sense. They don't seem to add up. I mean, for a start, what other explanation is there for the total transformation of those followers? They go from being running scared at his... Most of them are nowhere to be seen when Jesus is crucified. They're in hiding. And yet something changes them. Something convinces them otherwise. They were certain they had seen Jesus alive. We heard 1 Corinthians 15 read for us earlier, where the author Paul does this sort of theoretical exercise, sort of speculating, to sort of say, well, what if it were the case that the dead aren't really raised from the dead? What if that was the case? What if would life be like without a risen Jesus? You see, if Jesus didn't come back from the life and prove that it was all from the dead and prove that it was all possible, if this life is really all that there is, what's the point of it, he's kind of saying. Certainly for those of us who claim we have a faith, well, that's pointless if Jesus didn't really come back from the dead. But what about the rest of us? Is this life really all there is? If it is, it's just ultimately without meaning. What's the point to it all if there is no lasting value? But if, on the other hand, it is true, Paul says, effectively, that Jesus did rise from the dead, then it changes everything. Everything. And when you allow Jesus to draw alongside you, as he did then on that dusty Emmaus road out of Jerusalem, and he still wants to do today, then he promises you his joy, and he promises you a new perspective on those facts. He promises you meaning, an understanding, if you like, that his suffering as the sacrificial lamb, we were hearing about him being a sacrificial lamb, what the ancient prophet Isaiah mentioned. We heard that right at the start of the evening, that we see that his suffering is actually on our behalf. Because actually the Bible says that our rejection of God should be punished. And the stunning thing is that the crucified Jesus, this slain lamb, takes that punishment in our place. He dies in our place, so we don't have to. There's a meaning there. He promises hope, hope for the future, a hope-filled future, not just for this life, but forever. I mean, that's what's going on in John's vision that we heard in Revelation, that we were just singing about in that incredible song about whether he's worthy. There's only the slain lamb. Jesus is worthy enough to open that scroll which is kind of symbolic of God's will and all that is to come and all that will happen in the future. And Jesus promises purpose. Because when life has a meaning, because when we understand we are created by God to relate to him and to join with him, we realize that we are joining with him in his work. Meaning, purpose, hope. That's the difference a risen Jesus makes. And that is why Easter changes everything. Now, you may be here tonight, and if you've not really thought about things this way before, and if you're interested in the perspective change that Jesus offers, from this sort of confused, despairing, depressed hopelessness to more a joyful, purpose-driven hopefulness, then I just want to encourage you to take up the offer of one of three things, or three of three things if you want. I'm going to mention three things. The first is this. We've got copies of this little book called Is Easter Unbelievable? Four questions everyone should ask about the resurrection story. It's just a short, very short, as you can see, little useful book to help you think more about whether it's really true. And so if you would like to take one of those, they're free. You can grab one on the way out as you leave tonight. Secondly, if you're thinking you'd like to find out a little bit more, then can I invite you just to come back? We're here every Sunday at 10 o'clock. We meet here at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'd love to welcome you to our services. But actually, next weekend, it's Easter weekend, we've got some extra services. So on Good Friday, we've got one at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's an all-age service. And then a more reflective one at 6 o'clock in the evening. And then we're meeting again on Easter Sunday itself. All the details are on the back of the order of service that you were given as you came in today. So you can check those out as well as some other events on there as well. And then finally, if maybe you're at that stage where you think, do you know what, I really want to find out a little bit more about the basics about what Christians believe, then after Easter, we're running a series of five sessions on just the basics of the Christian faith. They take place in here at 7 o'clock on, beginning on Sunday the 14th of April, and you are very welcome to join us for those. So three offers for you there. Three offers to help you explore more meaning, purpose, hope. The meaning, the purpose, and the hope that Jesus offers and that changes everything.